AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us here at our studios at 9th and Gamble in Midtown Anchorage. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Hey, the other day I was asked, how did chiropractic begin? Well, and I replied, it began with a man named D.D. Palmer. And then they replied, who? This morning we begin our first conversation with a student of the founder of chiropractic. That would be you, Dr. Todd Turner. When you study the thoughts, the words, and the deeds of chiropractic founder D.D. Palmer, and because he was the discoverer and founder of a developing profession, are his thoughts and words rapidly evolving when you start to delve or delve into his notes and history?
Yeah. So speaking of his notes and history, his son, B.J. Palmer, the developer of chiropractic, used to go in the trash can and pull out his old notes. His notes, yeah. It was a weird relationship they had. But, you know, you go through all that, well, who founded chiropractic and what is it all about? And then we go and we can think about who founded osteopathy. You know, these osteopaths that, you know, are now consistent with medical doctors, and you look at their stuff and you think, well, who compared what and who stole from what and who stole from who? And we look at the old notes, and he was working on a system of health care for years, even though he was a magnetic healer.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, good. Then I'll wait on that one. And then he had a rationalization that if he removed pressure from nerve, function would be restored. And it wasn't about pain. It wasn't about low back. So that first adjustment done to Harvey Lillard, who was deaf for 17 years, was adjusted and it was restored his hearing. So all those notes and everything working on the system of tone of the nervous system and getting back to optimum potential, that was all planned. It wasn't like, oh, look what I stumbled upon. If I move this bone, this will happen. It was a system. And then it got developed further by B.J. Palmer, who really took it to new heights. And it was, for 2 years, D.D. Palmer thought he should be the only chiropractor in the world. And it wasn't until 1897 where he opened up a school of chiropractic.
So it was
pretty awesome. We have our celebration of chiropractic, and we have our celebration of Palmer, which is where it all started. So, yeah.
Speaking of Mr. Lillard, in the textbook, The Chiropractor's Adjuster, D.D. Palmer describes the very first adjustment of Harvey Lillard in September of 1895 as the adjustment which originated the art of replacing vertebrae. What is your interpretation 128 years later of replacing vertebrae?
Replacing the vertebrae into normal position, replacing the vertebrae into proper motion, replacing the vertebrae to where that pressure is off the nerve. So he was deaf for 17 years. He was bent over in a stoop position, felt something pop in his back, and then was deaf. And then D.D. Palmer was working with him. And he was actually a janitor in the same building that D.D. Palmer had an office. And it was called the Ryan Building, 2nd and Brady Streets in Davenport, Iowa. And it wasn't just like, hey, Harvey, come over here and let me get this thing for you. And it took convincing to Harvey Lillard. He didn't want to do it. He's like, no, I'm good, man. You peace out. And then it wasn't until he actually found the bone out of position, and he said, rack the bone in position. So he put it back in the rack correctly. You know, you put a weight back on the rack, you miss that, you smash your fingers, right? When you put the dumbbells back, you don't want to do that. You want to put that dumbbell back on the rack correctly in the right spot. So when he put that bone back in the right spot, maybe it was T4, maybe it was C1, who knows where it was, because it's really not clear, because when you touched the neck back then, that was voodoo, man, you couldn't do that. So it was most likely T4 with the sympathetic chain ganglion coming down to the T4 going up to the posterior auricular nerve, and most likely that's what happened. So, but he put that bone back in the normal position.
Dr. Kersey, history has shown D.D. Palmer to be individualistic and enigmatic. How would you interpret that as a student of D.D. Palmer? Was he mysterious?
He is.
Hard to understand?
He was a beekeeper. He developed his own honey. He had a little place called Sweet Home. And he was a kook, man. He was somebody that was off the wall. And then you look at all this off the wall stuff, and all of a sudden, it becomes science, and you know, he thought about this. But sure, bones but were being moved for centuries, right?
Right.
It was bone setting and all that kind of stuff. But he was a little nuts, right? So you have to be a little nuts to find something new.
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at Einstein, he was a little nuts, right? Hippocrates, was he a little nuts? Yeah, he was looking at your sputum and your stool and your to figure out what was going on. Well, you have to be a little, and as a chiropractor, you have to be a little nuts. You have to be able to take the impact of society saying, "Oh, you're not a real doctor. Oh, you're not this. Oh, you're not." And it's tough, you know. You have to learn how to be, you know, a duck and have that water shed off your back, because you can't take things personally. People just don't know.
I want to do a deep dive on that incredible answer. Have you been able, over time, to reveal to yourself Dee Dee Palmer's true character and spirit? And if so, what do you think you have found?
I don't know if I really ever did a deep dive on his actual, but his characteristics, but I think that we're all kind of similar as chiropractors. We all have to think a little outside the box. Maybe there is no box to think outside of, but we just, we have to be, somebody was saying yesterday about, they went to a medical doctor, and he said his tableside manner was absolutely horrible. Bedside manner, we call it tableside manner.
Sure.
And I think that Dee Dee must have been that guy that you could have just talked to and been a friend to and been convinced to lay on a table and get your hearing restored. This guy's a little crazy. But I trust him. I'm going to lay down. And I think the trust factor is big, because we do give advice for a lot of things. And
yes,
people do come to us for a lot of things. So we have to be that other person, not just, who wants to be a regular doctor? You're not a regular. Who wants to be that guy? Comes in and blah, 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 and then leaves and doesn't have a relationship with your patient. That's, you know, and not a bad relationship, just a, you know, patient doctor relationship.
What do you think was the essence of Dee Dee Palmer's life?
He wanted to change the world. I mean, he really look what he did. He changed honey. He had bees. He had his own raspberry. He developed things, and he was way ahead of his time. And then BJ was even more ahead of his time. He had the first radio station west of the Mississippi. I mean, these are guys that were changing the world, I thought for this. For this book I'm writing, you know, we have that God. What's the serenity thing? God give me the ability to change the things I can.
And AA uses it.
Yeah, and the difference and the ability to change and know what I can, something like I know what I can't change and the ability to know the difference. Here's the thing. You can change. You can change everything. One man can change the world, as we've seen, good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
One man can change the world. So I don't, and yeah, I want to tear that little serenity prayer apart a little bit and say, no, don't think that you, I can't change that. Just, you know, just give me some serenity to accept that. Don't accept it. And he didn't accept it. And he fought through. Chiropractors were jailed for practicing medicine without a license for many, many, many years.
As was Dee Dee Palmer.
Yeah, right? Thrown in jail. You're practicing medicine. No, I'm not. I'm not practicing medicine. I'm practicing chiropractic. This is a totally separate and distinct health care system. And it is a system. So it's a system. So if we look at that and we think, what was he all about, man? He was a little nuts. But yeah, he tried to change the world, and I think he did change the world. I mean, where would we be without a chiropractic adjustment? It's just, it's insane to think. Like, I was a little busy yesterday because I was gone for a week, and then Dr. Fuller, you know, left on time, and I was still sitting there with a new patient last night at 5:45, 6 o'clock, and I'm thinking, I just wanted to be adjusted. I just wanted to be adjusted. So today I'll get adjusted, but wow. I mean, just to think that how that one man changed the world is incredible.
Did Palmer's thoughts, words, and deeds, did they take root, of all things, and then blossomed into a profession now known as chiropractic?
Yeah, so he set the standard for what, you know, here's the thing. If we can give an adjustment that's got to restore some hearing, wow, that'd be pretty great, right? It was like the shot heard around the world.
Right.
The adjustment heard around the world, actually heard around the world. You know, I have a little pun on the hearing restored. But when he set the precedent, he didn't just adjust and say, okay, now I found a cure to hearing. Okay, now I found what makes the nervous system tick, and here's how we do it. And then Samuel Weed actually named chiropractic done.
Oh, I did not know.
Done with the purposeful use of hands. Kuros is hand, and practicos done with the purposeful use of. That's why I don't like when people call kairos. Oh, did you go to your chiro? Oh, did you go to your hand? I don't like it. I use the word chiropractic or chiropractor. I don't like your chiro. And even chiropractors say, yeah, the other chiro. I've never used that term. I don't ever say that because I just I feel too good about chiropractic. I'm done with the purposeful use of my hands. I'm not just a hand, even though our hands do most of our work. But so he set the system, he set the precedent, and then he developed that. I mean, he developed, and came up with a system. And then BJ, the chiropractic adjuster, he wrote that book, right? And then BJ Palmer wrote, I don't know how many volumes of green books, these books that were always green in color, and he wrote these green books that just were incredible, and he just kept writing. B.J. Palmer developed the you know how you put a piece of paper in a typewriter?
Yes.
He developed a roll that goes behind the typewriter so he didn't have to change paper. He had his own printing press where he can continue to write. And so these guys developed. I mean, they didn't stop. They didn't sit there on TikTok and Instagram all day and scroll. They came up with something new. And they were, and this is in Iowa, in the late 1800s, yeah. Early 1900s. These guys were developing, trying to help mankind, womankind, humankind, to do what's necessary to evolve us into a better person.
How was D.D. Palmer exploited or misrepresented by others during his time? And it seems like he was.
Oh, man. There's all kinds of stories. Yeah. Where, B.J. ran him over with a car during a parade, and they had a falling out, and B.J. was beaten by D.D. That's what we did back then. Didn't we beat our kids? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do back then. You're supposed to beat them up real good. They didn't have.
He was 30, but he was still.
Yeah, they didn't have a luxurious life. BJ was living on the streets, and he was not a very good kid from what I understand. D.D. was looked at as an outsider in that community, and he was jailed. He was made fun of because of his new thing. But there's a lot of bad press on that, and one person, I don't know, somebody said something, you Google and you come up with these people that all of a sudden they come up with their own history, and this is what happened, and this is how it happened. No, it didn't. And I happen to be a lifetime member of the Association for Chiropractic History.
Yes, you do.
There is a history. There's a chiropractic history society. So, I mean, and going back, people get really jazzed on it because it's so incredible. The medical community has its place, and it has its history, but there's not a whole lot of like seminars to go to. Man, let's talk about the history of drugs, and it's totally different. So the chiropractic world is different. We do get excited about our history, and it is an incredible history, and it's fun to go back and look at all these previous chiropractors and what they did and the legacy they left and the lives they changed, which is what it's all about from day one. It was all about the patient day one. How do I help this person?
Dr. Kersey, does the chiropractic profession continue to have to deal with other people's meanings of its profession, which are clearly inconsistent with the theme of chiropractic science?
Yeah. So there's a lot. And, there's fighting within every profession. There's different types of lawyers. The defense guys versus the prosecutor guys. And there's the medical doctors that don't do this, but they want to do this. And then there's in every profession, there's some kind of incongruency with its members.
Right.
In chiropractic, there are the what we used to call back in the day the mixers and the straights. If you at one point, if you adjusted below C1, you were a mixer,
mm-hmm.
and you can't do that. It's pure. You have to adjust the atlas. The atlas only sometimes C2 if the atlas doesn't exist or if it's fused to the skull. And then there was now we can adjust the full spine, but if you do therapy. Therapy now it became physical therapy, right? But if you did therapy and you did other things outside of that, it wasn't good. Well, now there's two societies in chiropractic where one, we'll put you acupuncture and manipulation under anesthesia and they're bigger massages, doing all different kinds of things, and then there's the chiropractors that just do adjustments. So two different schools of thought there. So there are different little incongruencies with that, but overall, it's all one group trying to do the right things naturally, without drugs, without surgery, for the benefit of the patient. So if we look at the history, I don't know. I think I kind of got off track there. But if we look at the history, it's all based on science from many, many years ago, and that science still holds true today. And the more research we do, and the more The more tests and subjects we have, it all proves to be the nervous system.
When I look back at Dee Dee Palmer's life and putting this program together and doing my homework, it seems like he was always going through a dramatic yet logical evolution of thought and action as it pertained to chiropractic. Is that true?
It is true. And the action is the big thing, right? We look at the world today and we have these thoughts and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Action, action, action. These guys were action figures. They actually did what they wanted to do, and they actually put that action forth, and they went out and did it. Dee Dee eventually left. I think he opened up a school in Illinois, and then he went out to California and tried to open up a school. I mean, he went, and he tried to bring chiropractic to the world, and BJ was a world traveler. He went all around the world and got the message out to chiropractic and opened a radio show with Ronald Reagan, the sports announcer.
I remember him.
So he was part of that world. They had a mission and they were on it, and they didn't just sit on their laurels and just sit back. They actually took action and did what they needed to do to change the world. And that's what I think we need to do. That's why we're here, right? We're trying to change the misconceptions of chiropractic and bring out the truth.
Was all of Dee Dee Palmer's thinking, was it all off the beaten path, and was he more than not alone in his thinking about the evolving philosophy, science, and art of chiropractic?
I think once he got that out there, once he got the meaning of what he was trying to accomplish, more and more people thought that, well, that makes sense. And we know the problem with common sense. It's not so common.
Right.
So once people actually saw what he was doing and the results that he was getting, and then more people became on board, and then we opened the school, Palmer Chiropractic, Palmer School of Chiropractic was opened in 1897, and the classes were huge. And then, you know, back in wartime, the BJ's, what they call mansion, it's a little house in Iowa, but it's the mansion, When the soldiers would come back from wartime, they would give them the belts, and all his the ceiling is all lined, the timbers are all put together with the belts of the soldiers. He brought the economy of BJ, brought the Dee Dee's son, brought the economy of Davenport, Iowa, and the Quad Cities. I mean, that was the only surviving community. I mean, it was an incredible community, and it was all due to the Palmer School of Chiropractic. I mean, it was incredible.
Is the sum total of Dee Dee Palmer's life, followed by few, shunned by many, and misunderstood by most, a life that would lead him eventually to the great accomplishment for which history will know him best?
Why don't you write that book, Dave? Because that's a great title, because it's exactly what was really going on, right? He was shunned by many, and he was totally misunderstood, still misunderstood. People still misunderstand the great philosophy that Dee Dee Palmer came up with and founded and put on this earth to serve millions. And we really can't understand what he was thinking. How did he come up with that thought? And what, you know, that's impossible.
Right.
But yet he developed that, and it was just it's still misunderstood, right? And we still have people say, "I don't believe in chiropractic." You ever been? No, but I heard. Well, no. So you have to really take a look at things, and I think that's a great way to describe Dee Dee and then BJ and then David, the grandson of Dee Dee Palmer. He was actually more into education. He went back to school and he has a doctorate in PhD or whatever in education, and he made it the Palmer University systems, and he made it more about education. He got rid of all the fluff and the alligators that they had at this school, and the little bit of heaven garden and the little sanctuaries. You know, a lot of things that he did I wouldn't have done, but he did get the education of chiropractors up to equal to medical doctors.
Is the Palmer family still at the helm of the Palmer College of Chiropractic?
Ooh, that's a great question. So here in town in Anchorage, Alaska, the chairman of the board of the Palmer Board of Trustees is Dr. Trevor Ireland here in town. So he is actually at the helm of the Palmer Board of Trustees. Vicki Palmer, the great-granddaughter of Dee Dee, is still on the board, is still a part of the college, but she's the last one to actually be a part of the Palmer world. But she stepped down as chairman of the board, and Dr. Ireland is the first non-Palmer in 128 years at the helm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did Dee Dee Palmer steal chiropractic from the early Greeks?
Steal chiropractic, like Deepak Chopra steal that thing. You know, I think he took.
Is steal a strong word for
steal? he may have borrowed some contracts from others because of the early Greek and bone setting and doing all that. But he was, as he will say, if he was sitting here with us today, he'd say, yeah, but we never moved the bone with specificity with the spinous process and the transverse process as levers to actually accomplish a goal in a specific line of drive in a specific direction. So when we look at radiographs, we look at spinographs, they used to call them, we call them x-rays. When we look at the x-rays and we determine bone out of position, we can actually say this one, and we're not saying, okay, this bone's out of place this much, we're going to put this right here, and then boom, goes back into place. It's a gradual process over time, but it's been that way. It got there over time. We're going to bring it back towards where it should be over time, and some adjustments are so impactful after the first adjustment, it's incredible. Some take a little bit more time. It depends on how much momentum has been built up, but it is specificity of the adjustment. That's why when osteopaths, and he still, when he came up with osteopathy, mm-hmm. in the same area, same time frame, and people were accusing DD of stealing from AT, and AT was accused of stealing from DD, and apparently, you had to have initials, your name, or you weren't cool, man. DD, hey, man. What's up? How much, BJ? What's going on, AT? How much, TC? What's happening? So,
you can call me DW if you want.
D-Dubs. I call you D-Dubs. Dub-Dubs. So, D-Dubs over here. So, when we talk about all that stealing stuff, if we look at osteopathy, we say, oh, they manipulate, we adjust. Why? Well, osteopaths were based on the foundation of the lymph system creating all wellness, and if we just move those structures around, so they're more of a gross manipulation and not specific adjustment to the specific vertebra. They're more like, big movements like you mm-hmm. see on YouTube where a chiropractor get that Y towel, whatever it is, and pull real hard. That's an osteopathic move. It's not a chiropractic move. So why are they like, that's a chiropractic? No, it's not a chiropractic. It has nothing to do with it. It's not specific adjustment of the atlas, of a specific bone. It does move structure, but that's a gross manipulation. And sometimes I would actually call that gross in the other way when you go, oh, that's pretty gross. I mean, why would you do that? So, different things, but did they steal it? No, I think he developed it and refined what it was into a science instead of just, experimentation.
How did D.D. Palmer become overshadowed by his son, B.J. Palmer? Oh. With the use of a car?
Yeah, well, he ran him over. Yeah.
Overran,
I guess. I think you have people in corporations and businesses that you look at a structure. Look at Starbucks. We had a guy with a couple stores, with what was it, 12 stores when the guy that bought Starbucks.
Howard Schultz bought a singular coffee shop in downtown Seattle.
Now I read recently that he had a few shops.
Oh,
I always thought it was one as well, and I'm going to go on the one, but I was reading this one thing about where he had a few stores. So, and he developed that, and he developed that system. So now when you go to Starbucks, it's not buying a cup of coffee that somebody made and made it a little bit different. It is exact every single time.
Right.
So where BJ came in, I think he developed a system where it was exact every single time. And you had an ASRP, Atlas Subluxation. This is how you adjusted. This is the torque you gave. This is the drop you gave. And it was developed into a system. So everything became a system, adjusting systems. I actually had to sit with, the granddaughter of the person who developed the drop table. Thompson, Dr. Clay Thompson developed that little drop table. And I sat with his granddaughter and we chatted. And I've known her for a few years and she's a wonderful person. But he developed a system. It was all still a system. So DD's scientific works and thought processes were developed by the developer. So we call DD the founder. We call BJ the developer. We call David the educator because he took that into an education system, but he developed that science into an art, science, and philosophy of things natural. And he was the man who took his father's works and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to do you a solid here, and I'm going to bring your profession that you developed, mm-hmm. you founded, into the world, and I'm going to develop this thing for you." So they could say they fought and they did all these things. I think his son BJ was a great proponent of his father and did his father a favor by actually taking his work work and making it what it is today.
Does D.D. Palmer receive today the credit due as the man who gave chiropractic to the world, or should we put it in the family unit?
I think we put it in the family unit, and a patient was traveling, and he came over and showed me a picture. And I said, what's this? He says, it said Gray Chiropractic. It was not Dr. Gray in town here, but another Gray mm-hmm. chiropractic in Oregon. Oh, this was, you know who it was? It was John at our front desk.
Oh.
Yeah, John showed me a picture. It was in Oregon. Showed me a picture. It said Gray Chiropractic, Palmer graduate. I had a phone number, Palmer graduate. That's what he said on its sign, Palmer graduate. So we give credit to the family because when you're a Palmer graduate, that's our main thing is adjusting. So we know how to adjust. And a lot of other schools are going away from that super emphasis on adjusting the spine, and which is a shame. But the Palmer graduate, I think we take the whole family and say, all right, we got the developer, the founder, the educator, and we look at all that and we say, here it is what it is today.
Sure.
Let's give them all a little bit of credit because without each of them, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing today.
Do you believe D.D. Palmer to be a scientist, a philosopher, or an inventor, or maybe all three?
All three, and a little bit of a nut job. And thank God he had the cojones to do what he did, and to bring that. He wasn't afraid. There was no he had that on his horse and buggy. He had that no fear sticker, you know, on his little, because he didn't have any fear. He wasn't afraid of saying, this is what I believe, this is what I'm standing for, this actually works, this is going to be something that is going to change the world, and I'm not afraid to show it.
In chiropractic, are there traces of transcendentalism, spiritualism, and vitalism?
Yes, well, there better be some vitalism. Yeah, and there are all those things, and our first premise of our 33 chiropractic principles that says there's a universal intelligence that made all matter and created all matter and continuously keeps it in existence. Well, that's the creator. We have to know that we weren't just made of in a test tube. There is something about life that came from something, and where did it come from? Well, I don't care if you're an atheist, agnostic, or a great spiritual leader. We have to know that, look around, man. We have to know that there's something, there's some higher power that made all this happen. And then innate intelligence, our internal intelligence, adapts us to our environment. So is there a spiritual and a trained, all that together. And if we look at health and we say, well, Dorland's Medical Dictionary says health is not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, it's social, mental, physical, spiritual well-being. Oh, you took all that, and that's health.
Mm-hmm.
So you took all those things, and you put it as health. Well, that's what chiropractic is.
Was it D.D. Palmer who created the term innate and innate intelligence? And was he defining innate as spirit?
That's a very, very interesting question, because I don't think he actually came up with the word innate, although it's used. And the big thing is subluxation. Should we have used subluxation? Because it was a word already, but it was a medical word that he developed into subluxation, a loss of juxtaposition of one vertebra above or below or both, such to the extent that the normal nerve transmission is interfered with. Well, should that have been our definition of subluxation? Should it have been called subluxation? Is it innate? I think innate is great, because we say our innate abilities, our innate intelligence. We know that there is something guiding us, and when we die, that innate is gone, right? And
mm-hmm.
it is no longer. Is it the soul? Is it, what is that? What is that governing body that keeps us moving, allows us to do what we do? There is that life force. If you want to call it life force, Tony Robbins would call it life force. What is that? Is that innate intelligence? I still have to read that book. Did you read that book?
Not yet.
I gotta give you that book. So remind me to give you that book.
Okay.
And then we have to read that, because life force is our internal force, and there is that energy that flows over and through the nervous system on a 100% consistent basis, always trying to adapt us to our environment. We know that. Our body heals. How does our body heal? You cut yourself. It heals. Miraculously, it heals. Well, that's your intelligence of your body. Your body knows what it's doing.
Dr. Hersey, D.D. Palmer once wrote, to make life manifest requires the union of spirit and body. What does that say to you, a chiropractor and a student of the Palmer?
It says that once we put that force into there and life and intelligence come together, matter and intelligence come together, it creates that life. So we have to have all those things working together. If we don't have those, you're just a body mechanic, just boom, moving bone. And you have to know that you're reaching that special substance of the soul when you're adjusting. And there is that connection. It's pretty, we had a, I was on my way to the airport. A guy called me. He says, is there any way you can help me out? And I was in Arizona. And he gets out of his car and he's walking towards me. And he's walking and I said, and this is a guy, this is a new patient that, you know, was a, you know, the girlfriend's father and, you know, mm-hmm. my little boy. And he comes over and I look at him and I go, ah, upper back pain, left side, come from your neck. He goes, how did you do that? And I just was like this spiritual man walking out of the car, and I just knew what I had to do. It was like, there's something to it. I mean, you have that connection. And he's walking up, and he says, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Because he didn't tell me. I took the kid to the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm the guardian of our chiropractic galaxy, I guess. And so it was kind of fun. So there is that little connection, and you come in, and that's exactly what was going on. And it's fun to see that. It's fun to know that there's that extra something there.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, as I sit here on my tailbone, can a human tailbone ever become misaligned?
The old castings.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the castings. The tailbone, you know, a lot of people come in and they say, oh, I broke my tailbone.
Right.
Or, you know, fractured my tailbone. And I say, okay, check it out. And I have them point to their tailbone. Oftentimes, David, they mm-hmm. point to the sacrum. Or they point to the low back. Okay, that's not your tailbone. And the tailbone, those tiny little vertebrae at the end of the sacrum. So we have the 24 movable bones of the spine,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the 5 fused sacral vertebrae, and then we have the 2 or 3 little segments at the end. People will say, oh, it's a residual tail, whatever you want to call it. It's a point of ligamentous attachment. It has purpose, and the little tailbone can become misaligned. Oftentimes in pregnancy, they'll say, oh, I fractured the tailbone. Maybe it was pointed in, and then when the baby came out, maybe it did something that way. Who knows? So there are adjustments for the tailbone. There is a coccygeal adjustment.
I was going to ask that. You can adjust the tailbone?
Yeah. There are two types of coccygeal adjustments.
Well, let's talk about them.
One is an internal move. We will never do that.
Okay.
I will never do that. I can't say never, but I don't think there'll be a reason for me to do an internal adjustment of the coccyx. There are people that do them. I don't know, but I don't want to do them.
Where would you enter from?
Yeah, exactly. So, not a fan.
No.
There's the other adjustment where you put the thumb on top of the coccyx. You get a contact there, and you take your other hand, and then you use the drop table, and you bring that coccyx up and in. And I'm going to tell you, the relief of people's coccygeal pain after that simple adjustment is unbelievable. Oh, I can sit down again.
Yeah.
It is, and we'll take an X-ray if we need to of the coccyx. It's just a shame that people get misguided a lot on the fracture. You fall down, it's not going to, oftentimes it's not going to fracture. And when it fractures the sacrococcygeal junction and kind of moves, right? So we have seen them. And we've seen some nasty ones. But overall, they're just really not in place. And that little tiny joint, if it's actually not fused to the sacrum, we can move that around.
And can you sprain your tailbone?
No, because it's a bone.
Okay.
You don't sprain the bone, but you can strain the ligaments and tendons attached to the coccyx.
Can giving birth create coccyx pain?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if the pelvis is misaligned, or the coccyx is misaligned, or the sacrum is in a position that is not suitable for that. So we do have, when you look at a spine from the side view, we have the three primary curves: the lordosis, and then kyphosis of the sacrum. Sometimes we'll see that sacrum just like horizontal instead of at a like a 45.
That can't be good.
It's not good. And then sometimes we'll see it the other way. And so it all depends on the development of that person and the actual structure inside there.
I'm not a doctor, but will tailbone pain ever come from the lumbar spine or the sacroiliac joint?
The sacroiliacus. So the sacroiliac joints, yes, that can create problems, and there can be a lot of referred pain there. We we see people with leg and ankle pain. Well, where does it come from? Because there's nothing wrong with my knee and my ankle. Well, could it be coming from the low back? I don't know. Could it be coming from your neck? I don't know. Yeah, it all starts from the brain. The spinal cord goes down. So, yes, a lot of that referred pain can be coming down from the lower lumbar nerves coming down into the sacrum. Absolutely 100%. If the SI joints, the sacroiliac joints, are misaligned or stuck or in aberrant motion, that could be causing problems with the ligamentous attachment of the structures because it's all connected.
I once had tailbone pain so bad I couldn't really sit to drive. I kind of had to stand in my car to drive. Why is, as many people describe, tailbone pain so excruciating?
It's very sensitive, and there's not a whole lot of cushion, right?
No.
The glutes surrounding that. But if you put that down, and you got no arthritis, you know, you got no arse down there, and you have a pretty bony bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna be pretty sensitive. So we have to make sure that's aligned properly, so it's not sensitive. It will feel bruised oftentimes with that misalignment. So it's a tough one because we sit right on there.
Can having your tailbone adjusted be a common adjustment without having to be in pain?
No, we don't really do that. I do more sacral adjustments. We do the sacral leg check. I'll hold down your sacrum where you raise one leg and raise it. I think I've done that to you, right?
Yeah.
You raise one leg versus the other leg, see if the sacrum's aligned. And then our contact point is at the sacrococcygeal junction, down there on the tip of the sacrum and the sacroiliac joint. And when we move that in that direction it needs to go, when one leg is higher than the other leg, we go to the higher side.
Mm-hmm.
We bring that over. It was called a sacral apex. And we bring that over. So our contact point is there, but we don't do a lot of coccygeal adjustments unless you actually say that. Because, no, you don't just grab somebody in between the cheeks and just start moving bone on you. You have a reason. So, and there is that. And then the Logan technique. Let's talk about Dr. Logan with his technique. He was a Palmer graduate that went on to develop his own school. He was real big on that sacrum, and pun intended. So I believe the point of contact with his thumb was right on that coccyx, and he would push there, and then he would do different checks of the spine that way, because he was highly involved with that sacro-occipital technique and the Logan technique.
You treated me for sacrum pain, which I thought was hip pain because it was shooting straight out the hip.
Did I?
Yeah. Why does pain
radiate, refer,
go out the hip, and you think all of a sudden, well, I got to get my hip replaced.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. Oh, I got hip pain. Where does it come from? And so we check that, and then we might do a hip X-ray. We might do a frog leg projection. We might want to see how that hip is functioning. Sometimes it is the hip. And then, like yesterday, I have to go all the way back to yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday we had a person who had his knee replaced because he had knee pain, and many, many years of bad knees, finally got his knee replaced, and his was. We worked on him. I've known him for 25, 26, mm-hmm. 27, 8 years, and he's always had bad knees, and they were always swollen and always had problems, and he's a big golfer, and he wants to get out there and do. So he has his knee replaced. Guess what he has now? Hip pain.
No.
How about that? And I said, you know, you think it was all related to him coming down from the same area here or there, and well, maybe. Well, yeah, the hip pain did develop after the knee surgery. Well, go figure. It's all related. So where was it coming from? Was it coming from L3 originally, going out to the hip, going to the knee, going to the... It's so, yeah, there's that correlation, and we have to think, well, where's it all coming from? What's going on? And so, it's a tough one.
Dr. Griffey, what is the importance of the nervous system to that region of the spine?
You say importance of the nervous system, you stop me right there, and I think everything. The importance of the nervous system is, it's so important to have a properly functioning nervous system, whether it's going to the coccyx, whether it's going to sacrum, the sacroiliac joints, the hips, the nose, the toes, wherever you have. If you don't have proper nervous system flow, you're just not functioning at optimum potential, and that's where we want to get you. So it's all about the nervous system first, and we have to look well to the spine for the cause of all disease. Hippocrates, right? And he said that because if we're looking at the hip and the sacrum and the coccyx, we're looking, well, where does that come from? Is it functioning right there, or is it coming from a little bit higher? Is it coming from the nervous system? Is it coming from that lumbosacral junction? Are we having aberrant motion there with pressure on the nerve going out to that joint? So we have to figure out where that's coming from. The guy that got out of his car and was walking toward me had that pain medial to his scapula, and I knew it was not. a mid-thoracic issue, it was a neck issue, and it happened to be a neck issue. Well, we have to look to where that cause is coming from. And we are doctors of cause, DC, doctor of chiropractic, doctor of cause, and doctor of correction. And that's what we want to do. We want to correct the cause of the problem.
I'm asking for a friend. If you wake up between the hours of 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. consistently to go to the bathroom, should you have your tailbone aligned?
That's a good question. L3 or tailbone, which one is that? If you're waking up, could that be? Are you drinking too much water? Does your dog bark in the middle of the night? What is the cause of the problem? You have one day to sleep in, and the dog gets up at 5, and you have to go to bed. Maybe it is that. And we talk about Cauda Equina syndrome when you have a problem down in the Cauda Equina, the horse's tail after L1-2 where the spinal cord ends, and you lost a bladder control.
Yes.
What is that really coming from? So we have to look at those different areas. So is that an L3 bladder issue, or is that a coccygeal issue? What could that be? And we will find out for your friend or you and figure out what we need to do.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after this. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stewart. Dr. Kersey, what is Todd Kersey's style?
Oh, my style.
Yeah, your style.
I mean,
you originated from New Jersey.
Yeah.
You migrated here to Anchorage.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you just said Scottsdale. Can you believe I go back and forth to see patients here and there?
Now, what's it like for you to be a chiropractor in Scottsdale, Arizona? Is the type of person that you see, are they different from Alaska?
We see a lot of
clothes. They don't wear a lot of clothes.
Less clothes, and everybody seems to be just doing the same thing, and there's a little bit more activity. People are out there doing their thing, we see a lot of younger people there. You think that with Scottsdale, you see a little bit more older population.
Right.
We see a lot of the young. We see a lot of the baseball kids, but we see a lot of the high school kids, and it's pretty interesting. But just normal families, just getting adjusted, just like here, and we open that as more of a wellness practice, just every 2 weeks getting readjusted and making sure that there's no degeneration happening after that 2 week injury, or whatever that is. So it's developed into an interesting little practice down there, and it's fun. And you come back here, and it's fun too, and it's just different, and it's just. Down there, it's just a one table and an X-ray machine, and it's small. Here, it's the Mecca, so it's different.
When do your kids call you Cringy Dad?
Never. Never. They call me Todd Fajer.
Todd Fajer.
Todd Fajer. Todd Father. Todd Fajer. Fajer. I smacking balls to Vince the other day. I was hitting some grounders to him.
And
a lot of fun. And Coop and I went golfing once. So it's nice when your 16, 19 year old boys want to hang out with you. So
absolutely.
I think I'm doing something right. And they're great children. And just blessed to have those guys.
Hey, well, what type of things did you love as a child growing up in New Jersey?
Cool. We swam a lot. Every summer.
In the New Jersey River?
Yeah, in the river. So you had to watch out for bodies. swimming, we had a lot of outdoor fun. I started cutting lawns at like 12 years old, and we just worked and did our thing and hung out with family, and it was just always had family around. It was good.
Let's talk about the Kersey Chiropractic operation. Where can we find you, and when can we find you here in Anchorage?
I'm here most of the time. We're here to see patients every day. People said, do you still do the hour of power on Saturday? No, we're not doing the hour of power. We're just doing Monday through Friday because after the pandemic, we stopped doing the hour of power. And we just haven't brought that back. But we're here Monday through Friday, and all day Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday, Thursday afternoon.
Dr. Kersey, I'd like to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic in both locations, Anchorage and Scottsdale. What number?
907-569-9355.
Dr. Kersey will join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversations Unlimited. I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.
Good day.